Well, we serve a good God. I mean, God's amazing, and you know, it's just I was getting ready for the sermon this morning. Throughout this week, my title kept changing and kept changing. Like, what do you want me to speak on, Lord? Because I wanted to speak about His presence, because His presence is so broad to try to narrow it down. So, last night I finally got the title of the message for this morning: is spending time in His presence. Okay, we can just please bow our heads and close your eyes so I can pray for myself. Lord, Heavenly Father, God, I just thank You for this beautiful morning You've given us. We thank You. Your presence is already here, Father God. I just pray that You would hide me behind Your beautiful cross, Father God. And I just thank You for what You're doing in Hope Community Church. And I just pray for Pastor Elias, Father. Keep him safe on his trip. Bring him back home safe. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, my first scripture for this morning is Psalms 16 verse 11. Here we go. The Word of God says in Psalm 16, verse 11, the Word of God reads, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in Your presence, with eternal pleasures at Your right hand." There is joy in His presence. Alyssa preached on joy, and that was, I told her, it was one of the best preachings she's seen. I mean, preached, so it was good. So it's just joy. There's joy in His presence. The joy that the world does not give you, His joy. Okay? Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to start in verse 6. Matthew chapter 26, verse 6. While Jesus was in Bethany in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to Him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on His head as He was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it and prepare me for burial. Truly I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." The alabaster box, that was a year's salary. Everything that she worked hard for, this perfume, she wanted to break it in at the feet of Jesus. This was a year's salary. That perfume was very expensive, obviously. It had a lot of significance for her. But she did something. She broke it at the feet of Jesus. Spending time in His presence. And we're still talking about this woman. Like it says, you know, the gospel words going to be preached, they're going to remember her for that. All her work, all her time, bought that perfume, but to break it at the feet of Jesus. She worked hard for that. It had significance to her. Spending time in Him, in His presence, it's significant. It's something that you treasure, that you want to spend time with Him. Because you didn't try the world, maybe. But you know that the world has hurt you. You came to the true saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you long to spend time with Him. Matthew chapter 6, same book, Matthew chapter 6. Starting in verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. His disciples were telling Jesus, what are you doing? You see, Jesus had his eyes on the prize. Jesus knew that he was going to die. It said that it was preparation for his burial. Disciples were probably, what are you talking about? Because Jesus knew why he came to the world. He knew that he was going to die for our sins. So where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 22. The eye of the lamb of the body, if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of life. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then light within your darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap, store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you be by worrying add a single hour to your life? Verse 31, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. True statement. You know, we tend to worry about this and that, you know, but God, he knows what you need of. He knows what you need. He knows how much we can take. The Bible also says that he would always provide a way out. So many times we might feel overwhelmed. But you know what? God's still there for us. And it goes back to my title, spending time in his presence. Luke chapter 10, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, the Word of God reads, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. I want to go back to verse 39. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. See, Martha was so busy, distracted by doing other things, but Mary did a beautiful thing, that she just wanted to sit at Jesus' feet and just listen to Jesus, spending time in his presence. So many times in our lives, we get so busy doing this and that we forget to spend time with our master, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's going to help us through our dark times, through our tough times. Because no one said that when you accept Jesus Christ, things are going to get easier. And in fact, sometimes they get even more difficult. You know, some confusion sometimes. But you know, but we hold on to Him. He's going to see us through. So my point there is that don't get so distracted by everything else that this world has to offer that we forget to spend time with Jesus Christ. Verse 41, it says that, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried about, upset about many things. But few things are needed, only indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better and will not be taken away from her. So let's be like Mary, spending time with Him. Let's not get up so distracted with everything else out there. I have two side notes that in my Bible it has that I'm going to read. What was wrong with Martha's hospitality? Question mark. Nothing was wrong with her hospitality. However, her priorities were out of order. She was so concerned with the task of serving that she missed the greater importance of taking time to sit at Jesus' feet. Life's greatest priority should be taken in and reflect on our relationship with Jesus. There it is. And the other point I want to read is that if we all adore Jesus as Mary did, who would do the work? I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time. Mary did more than just sit at the feet of Jesus. She undoubtedly took her turn serving. The tension was caused not by Mary's unwillingness to help, but Martha's excessive preparations. She just said such an extraordinary efforts were unnecessary. In fact, few things are needed, and indeed, or indeed only one. Our adoration and relationship with Jesus will naturally lead to service. When you just want to spend time with Him, you spend time at home. Because Pastor Green as well, have taught us that, you know what, spending time with Him is outside of these four walls. In your own quiet time, and you're spending time with Him through reading the Word of God, praying. You know, that's where it's at. It's great to come to the house of the Lord. It's great and dandy. But you know what? Getting to know your Heavenly Father, getting to know about His promises by reading His Word of God, that's where it's going to help you, help each one of us. And I include myself in this. Because, you know, we need Jesus every day. We do. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, verse 5. First Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 5. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. It's being humble before Him. Can I just be honest with you? You can't do it in your own willpower. I'm sorry, I'm just going to be honest this morning. We need Jesus. We need His presence. It says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. When you realize that you need Jesus Christ in your life, that's putting down your pride. Orgullo, como dicen los mexicanos. Ese orgullo destroye familias, it destroys families, that pride. I've seen it firsthand when I was growing up. That pride, it stinks. I'm thinking about another word, but I'm not going to say it. You know, it's that just pride, it just stinks, man. You know, as Mexicanos, we think that, you know what, you know what? Let's put it down, you know? Because the truth and the fact is that we need Jesus Christ every day. We can't live this faith walk without Him. Spend time in His presence. I better stop because I'm thinking about something I'm not going to say it. God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. I want His favor in my life. The Bible says in Luke 2:52 that He gives favor with God and with man. I want to be in right standing with Jesus Christ. I want to be where He wants me to be. And I'm just amazed, you know, I've shared it a few Sundays, what God's doing in my life, and He continues to do. You know, and I'm just super excited with what God's doing with that little ministry in school, FCA. Because I still see myself as a little boy that will ride a bike all around Donna, Texas. And, you know, and here I am talking about God's favor at a public school, talking about God's love at a public school. You know, and just to see kids, like I shared, I've been doing it for a little bit over a month. To see some kids tearing up, and they're giving me the rough kids, but that's all good. Bring them in. You know, and some kids were crying. You know, and that's what it's about. I mean, the simple thing that I know God's done for me, that I just want to share with the world out there. Share it with kids that, you know, I don't know their home lives. But one thing if I can touch just one soul, one teenager, oh, praise the Lord. And I saw it again this past Wednesday. I meet one day out of the week with them. Some little girl was tearing up. You know what the key is? Spending time in His presence. I couldn't do that ministry saying, God, I need You. Anything that I do for God, I want to spend time with Him because I've come to the conclusion that I cannot do anything without Him in my life. I need Him every day. I know that He's given me something special, precious, that I hold on to it. Because I know as teenagers, they're looking for something. They're looking for something real, something that's going to sustain them. His presence is such a broad topic. That's why I was struggling preparing for it. But you know what? How could this world not want to spend time with Him after He died on the cross for our sins? Hebrews chapter 8. I'm going to get a little deep this morning with this. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I put My laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be My people. Verse 11. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know Me, from the least to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. By calling this covenant new, He has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete, the outward, will soon disappear. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 8 through 10. First He said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, You did not desire, nor were you pleased with them. Though they were offered in accordance with the law, then He said, here I am, I have come to do Your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all the time our sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstools. Verse 14. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are made being made holy. What I want to talk about with all these scriptures that I read, I'm going to tie it in with worship. In those times, in Old Testament times, the only one that can go into the Holy of Holies was the high priest. But that's why Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. He became that high priest to spend time with the Holy of Holies. When you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, he's doing a new thing. And when he sees you, he sees the blood of Jesus. And when you worship the King of Kings, what Jesus sees, he sees his perfect, precious blood that you could spend time with him. Holy. Do you see where I'm going with this? You could spend time with him in the Holy of Holies. If you can just picture all that and wrap it around you to spend time with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in your home. And imagine it as a family spending together in prayer. You're spending time with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When he sees your family united, there's power and unity. He sees the precious blood of Jesus. He's going to protect your family. He's going to have his precious blood protecting your family. Come on, somebody, give him praise. He paid the ultimate price for us. And we can't even spend time with him sometimes because we get so caught up with the business of the world. His blood is precious. His blood is beautiful. That you just want to spend time with him. He sees his son's blood on you. How could you not get excited? Spending time in his presence. He paid the ultimate price. Once he said, it is finished, he's going to come back. We got to prepare ourselves. We don't know the time or hour that he's coming. Only God himself knows. His blood is beautiful. It's perfect. And we come together on Sunday mornings to worship him. It's called corporal worship. It's even stronger. It's even more beautiful. It's why we need each other. It's not about a pastor. It's about getting drawing you to Jesus Christ. Spending time in his presence. I was just remembering this time when I went to Puerto Rico with my former church on a mission trip for 2 weeks. We went to a church service. They had a word for our group when the name of that ministry was Outbreak Ministry. And they called us up to the front. That was probably the biggest church I've seen. But as they called us up, because I was one of those spectators you see like Benny Hinn, some big evangelists where people were just falling out on the power of God with no one touching them. I was like, whatever. Well, anyways, that was a rude awakening for me. You know, they called us up to the front and no one was even touching us and we're falling out. It's like, whoa, what just happened? That is his presence. There was twice when I was in Bible school that they had to carry me out of the building. What I'm saying this morning, that his presence is real. What I'm saying this morning, that his presence will help you through whatever you're going through. What I'm saying this morning, that is his presence that we need. Because the days are getting darker and darker. Who knows what tomorrow holds? But if I can just encourage you this morning, help somebody out. Oh, praise the Lord. His presence is what we should long for.
Can we just bow our heads and close our eyes? Whatever you're going through, I just want you to know this morning that He's with you. You might not know where the door is or where to go, but I want to tell you, turn to Jesus. He's your answer. If you need prayer this morning, I'm going to open up the altar. Because I believe in altar calls. Because something that was installed in me in Bible school is that the altar is a place of change. So as Michelle starts singing, if you need prayer this morning, we're here. Most importantly, Jesus Christ is here.
Every